Heavenly Father, the Bible contains your living word. By your Spirit, make it alive to us this morning, not so that we might be entertained, but transformed, not that we might know more about you, but so that we may know more of you. Give us open hearts and minds, so that in receiving your word, our everyday lives might be shaped by it. Amen. Well, let's begin at verse 29. There aren't many verses to have in front of you in this text, but here we have verse 29. As Jesus and the disciples left the town of Jericho, a large crowd followed behind. There are two groups of people leaving Jericho: the disciples and Jesus, and a large crowd. The first responded to Jesus' personal invitation to follow him, and were committed to learn from him as a rabbi, as a teacher. Disciples were disciples of a teacher. They'd made a commitment. You can remember some of their commitments. You know, leave your nets and follow me. Stop counting the money. Come and follow me. Here is my brother. Can he come too? Yes, come and follow me. And then following, you see, is not just about proximity and direction, but it's also about leaving behind nets, leaving behind taxes, leaving behind mother and father, leaving behind a carpenter's shop, giving up, leaving behind. There has to be a commitment, a purpose, if you're going to leave behind a whole stack of money or a profitable business. You don't just at a whim go, do you, without making some kind of commitment. Following Jesus is not, first of all, about advantage, but a willingness to model my life after him. And that means some giving up, some self-sacrifice, giving up self-determination. This is how I'm going to do it. This is how I'm going to spend my money. This is how I'm going to spend my time. But listening to the voice of Jesus and taking on a new identity. Disciples become like their master. They give up themselves in order to reflect him. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come." That's the first group, the disciples, who are leaving Jericho and following close to Jesus. And then there's the second. They're interested in Jesus, but they're simply part of a crowd. You know what it's like when there's a crowd gathering? You want to know what's going on. I know one or two rogue people who like to gather a crowd when there's nothing going on. You've probably seen it yourself on TV, you know, where somebody's standing there gazing into space, and before long others are coming and they're gazing into space. Nobody knows what they're looking at. Somebody I know did it in class, looking out of the window, and was told off for being naughty. He said, "I'm just looking out of the window, miss. I'm listening." But the crowd gathered, and soon they're all looking out of the window. And there's nothing to see out of the window but space and the green grass. So the crowd are interested, but there's no commitment, no identification with Jesus. They're just following behind. Disciples follow with, eat with, sit and learn, and go looking for Jesus when he's out of sight. Because being a teacher, he needed a quiet moment with his father, and so he would go and find a quiet place. When they woke up and realized he wasn't here, they went looking for him. They're seeking after the teacher. Imagine for a moment that you were there, leaving Jericho. Which group would you put yourself in this story? You need to be clear about where you are, in the crowd or one of the disciples. You can choose. Back in chapter 7 of Matthew, as Jesus is teaching a crowd, he gives a warning. Let me just turn to Matthew 7, verse 21 and 22. That was back in 2016, probably, when we were here, I don't know. Matthew 7, 21. "Not everyone who calls out to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name.' But I will reply, 'I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws.'" The crowd have heard it all. They know to call Jesus Lord, but it is disciples who commit to make him Lord. Most importantly, after he has left them and returned to his Father in heaven, they still listen to his voice and follow his teaching, committed to be like him in every way. They know him as Lord, Lord. He shapes their lives. The crowd have heard it so many times, Lord, Lord, but they don't know him. And now we come to verse 30. "Two men were sitting beside the road. When they heard that Jesus was coming that way, they began shouting, 'Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us.'" They're sitting by the road. They heard that Jesus was coming and they began shouting. What did they begin shouting? "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Nobody in the gospel account has ever used this phrase before. But these two men, I don't know when they became blind, but they knew what was written in Samuel about David's dynasty and his kingdom, and that God would raise up a son whose kingdom would be forever. They've heard about Jesus. Their ears are attuned to Jesus. They've heard the gossip. They know who's coming, and they've worked out, I don't know whether they've worked it out for themselves or whether the Spirit has given them a revelation, that this Jesus is the Son of David. I guess being blind, sitting by the road, they'd had time to reflect. And there's a lesson here for the passerby in humility. Although these men are blind, they are knowledgeable and open to revelation. The crowd saw them and told them to shut up. You know, they're being a nuisance. But these two men, they were discerning. The crowd should have listened. Ah, this is Jesus, the Son of David, the long-awaited. Is he the Messiah? With wisdom, I think, they don't use that title. Can you imagine if these two men, who everybody were brushing aside, said he's the Messiah, they'd have probably had a fist come their way or something. Don't be ridiculous. But they used that messianic title, Son of David. So they not only recognize who Jesus is, but they recognize what authority he has. What will the crowd do? They attempted to silence them. After all, at this point in the gospel narrative, Jesus is going up to Jerusalem. He's coming towards the end of his ministry. The climax of Jesus' calling is drawing near. There were lots of important hopes and expectations about what would happen next. If he is the Messiah, goodbye Romans. Because their idea of a Messiah was someone who would set them free and re-establish the kingdom of Israel. Jesus came proclaiming, what? The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is near. So these two men, they refused to let the priorities of the crowd deter them. They shouted louder. When you hear Jesus' voice calling you, don't let others deter you. Listen to the voice. Pay attention. So what about Jesus here? He heard their shouting above the noise of the crowd. It may be that you think the crowd is too noisy, but Jesus will hear you calling. He has compassion, unlike the crowd. He stops. He honors them with dignity. He touches them and heals their sight. But first of all, he asks the question, what would you like me to do? What would you like Jesus to do? Having received their sight, these two men followed Jesus. The text doesn't say that these two men followed the crowd notice. They followed not simply in the same direction, but they followed Jesus. What are you doing? What are you hearing crowds say to you? You go to church on a Sunday. Oh, that's all rubbish, isn't it? Nonsense. It's a story. It's a crutch. It's a kingdom. It's the kingdom of God. And what about Jesus and you? Jesus said, I have called you friends. What will you do? Maybe you're wondering, after all these years, what's the point of being a Christian? Or perhaps you've yet to really hear Jesus' question. What do you want me to do for you? Before you answer that question of Jesus, you might like to think about what it was Jesus came to do, who he is, and what following Jesus might mean in what you need to give up or leave behind. Even now at this stage in our lives, we hang on to stuff, don't we? Things we need to let go of in order to follow Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your Son told us to count the cost of being a disciple. Help us to recognize what that might be for each of us as we make following you our first priority. Help us to model that to the younger generations. Thank you for your grace and patience with us when all around us people are making different choices that have a pull on us too. Open the eyes of our hearts so that we might recognize Jesus as your Son and our Savior. And in doing so, choose to follow him as disciples, not just as an inquisitive crowdie. Amen.